The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money and Mission, your own Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720. Where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. We have a problem. Houston, right? We have a problem, right? We want to honor God with our lives, right? We want to honor God with our money and our planning and our businesses. But, you know, we kind of lack clarity in exactly how that's supposed to work in our specific situation. Right, we read the Bible and we see principles and various things, but how does that actually work in our own businesses or our vocations or family dynamics or in our season of life? Anyway, there's so much fine print, so many details, right? I mean, this is all easier said than done. And I don't know, you say this all the time, Eric, there's so much financial information coming at us all the time. So,
yeah, and it can actually be overwhelming.
And scary. Yeah, that's right. So, which is not really funny, but I mean, we laugh about it because it's like these reams of fine print, right?
In this day and age of information, it feels like we can have information overload.
Yeah, that's
right. And not know where to look or who to listen to.
That's exactly right. So we want to talk about that for a couple of weeks here. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, if you're confused or if you don't have clarity, you're not making good decisions, and that really hurts, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So, well, I'm James Good, and this is episode 87.
That's right. And I'm Eric Terrio. But each week in the first part of our show, we'll talk about some current financial events mm-hmm. so you'll have a better understanding of what some of the things we're talking about actually That's means right. to you in your life.
Yeah. And then we do our weekly puzzler.
Well, we pivoted to the weekly trivia now.
The weekly trivia?
Yeah, yeah.
Which might still be a puzzle.
Yeah. Well, not this week.
Not this week.
Yeah. Well, let's jump into our week in review. We got a few news stories here. A lot of things going on. I know there's the World Economic Forum going on right now in Switzerland.
Oh, my goodness.
And
yeah.
I guess we'll have to wait for that to wrap up to see what happens.
We'll
but what
see
about
what
some of these stories here?
So, you know, it always seems to me we are three quarters of the way through January, and we're just getting November numbers.
Yes. That's due to it's just government shutdown in the fall.
Yeah, but the government's back open, but it still takes 60 days to get the numbers. So prices ticked up in November.
That's right. Inflation a little bit.
And I mean, that just means inflation is still closer, a lot closer to 3 than 2.
For sure.
Right. I mean, the Fed keeps talking about a 2% target.
And we're at 2.8.
And we're at 2.8, which is a huge miss from 2%.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, we're nowhere close to
40%.
2%. That's right.
Yeah.
So
I doubt that the Fed will be cutting rates anytime soon.
You don't think they'll be cutting rates?
I mean,
there's still some people on the board of governors that are saying, "Hey, we got to do this," right?
Yeah.
It just seems really what's the right word? It's counterintuitive, right? If you say you want to go here, if you want to cut inflation and cut spending, and because inflation is running a little too high, and then you make it easier for everybody to borrow money,
and just pump that into the economy.
That does seem
like it would cause inflation. And then 2.8 would tick up, maybe not right away, but mm-hmm. you know, residually.
But it would keep moving in the wrong direction.
For sure.
Well, what do we know?
Yeah. We just report the numbers.
So the labor market, though, and that's like all the people who are getting hired. I think the headline is that we have a labor market crawl.
Yeah, I think we mentioned that last week as well.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, how does this work?
Yeah. There's a country music song, the Watermelon Crawl. Right? Mm. But this is the labor market crawl. And that just means that hiring has slowed down enormously. Possibly because...
But jobless claims have went down as well.
Right.
You know, that's the dichotomy there.
Yeah, probably because people are looking around saying, I don't know if I can get another job, so I'm going to do more to hang on to the job I already have.
Yeah.
And so there's just
a little bit more effort now.
A little more effort.
At that's work right. When I get there. Get up a little bit, a couple minutes early.
It's funny how being scared will make a big difference like that. So is this right that the third quarter economic growth numbers were revised higher?
Yeah. I wanted to bring Joe some interesting good news today. We're always talking about revising these numbers down.
Down.
But I seen today a Reuters report that, yeah, they got revised, but this time upward.
Upward.
Yes.
The economy grew at an annualized rate of 4.4%, which was slightly higher than the initial 4.3 estimate.
Yep.
So.
And growing at the fastest pace in the past couple of years.
Yeah. So why do they feel like they need to cut rates? Right. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. If the economy's growing already and we
everyone wants cheaper rates across the board. The president's yelling at them from the bully pulpit. I mean, there's pressure.
Yeah. Which, I mean, honestly, doesn't make any sense to me, right? If on one hand, the president is out there saying, we've got the strongest economy, we've got, and look, things are growing, but then, you know, we have to cut rates. Why?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. But in
seems
any
like
case.
It'd be a short-term, like, Band-Aid.
For what?
For the economy. If things aren't going well, you help spur it.
But the economy is going well.
No, I'm saying I think it should be used as a Band-Aid.
Right.
But just a lower, just to be lower for lower sake.
Yeah. I think, you know, one thing, and I didn't see this, and it's getting comment on this in this Reuters article, but how much of the economy, I mean, economy is just a series of transactions.
That's right.
Right. So how much of that is dependent on borrowed money, right? Because if you're concerned about needing to keep an economy going, that might be one reason why people would feel the need to lower rates.
It's kind of just in the fabric of our society now. We've talked about it a couple times since the summer, the high consumer debt, business debt, our national debt, $38 trillion.
That's right.
It just seems there's no discretion for debt up or down the board.
Up or down, yeah. Yeah. Well, this K-shaped economy, I have to tell you, the first time I heard the term K-shaped, I thought, huh? Like K-shaped.
I had that same thought this morning.
Yeah. K-shaped economy.
Uh-huh.
Or, I mean, here they say, in this article, they say K-shaped recovery, but I mean, it's funny. So like if you have a V-shaped recovery, you've got this, you know, on the left-hand side, it kind of represents things just falling off and then it gets to a bottom and there's a really sharp spike up and it looks like the letter V.
Right.
And so that would be a V-shaped approach, right? And I mean, down and when things go down, it never feels good. But when things bounce, it always feels better. So the V-shaped is like, okay, I'm sort of glad I held through this, right? Because, boom, it
just
bounced.
Just a blip back where you were.
That's right. Boom, V-shaped. Well, K-shaped is clearly K is a different letter, right? You have to picture what K looks like. So you've got one line going up and one line going down. And so you have an up swing going on at the same time that you have a downswing going on in two different parts of the economy. And so really what economists are noticing there is that the top 20% of folks in this economy are doing quite well. And in fact,
we see it on Twitter and TikTok and Facebook.
In fact, most of the additional spending that is causing the economy to expand is coming from the top 20%. But at the same time that you have that upward thing going on,
things are getting tighter for the bottom.
Things are getting tighter. That's right. And so you have a K-shaped, right? This going on at the same time that you have the downward thing going on.
So just widening that economic gap between the classes.
That's right. So it's just an interesting dynamic. And again, I don't know that it's so different. I mean, it seems like there has always been some kind of K shape. I've never heard it called that before. Before now. So corporate profits were revised up, according to the article here, and you know, that's another interesting thing. If you have an inflationary environment where prices are going up, then businesses that get to charge more for their products and services...
Are they really creating more, products and services?
That's right.
Or is just some of that number inflated?
It's just some of that number inflated. That's right. Mm-hmm. But, hey, initially, if I'm making cereal, for example, and I get to charge more for that box of cereal, which all you have to do is go into the grocery store aisle and you see the price is up. And the box of cereal is
smaller.
That's right. The peanut butter cup index, remember? I mean, peanut butter cups soon will be so small you wouldn't
be
able to
be like a Reese's Pieces.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, but anyway, the point is I'm manufacturing cereal, right? And I got to charge more for the product. And so it puts more sales and more revenue into my checkbook. And so I got to show up and say in my financial report, hey, we sold more stuff, right? Our earnings are up. And it would stay that way until a couple of months later, I'd have to turn around and pay more for the supplies that I need to make that same cereal. So you have this lag going on, right, where first profits are up, and then keep an eye on it to see if 3 or 4 months down the road, those same companies are now reporting either a loss or lower profits, sort of like watching waves at the beach. Right.
Well, we'll be certainly keeping an eye on that.
We will be keeping an eye on that.
And Joe, if there's any more upward revisions, I'll be sure to bring them your way.
Bring them along. That's right.
Well, what a news week. We'll come back next week with some new headlines. We're going to take a quick break now. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720. Did I say that right?
You absolutely did.
Yeah, it's like I keep getting the
engineer said you did.
The engineer said I did. Thank you, Joe.
You're signed off on that.
We so appreciate you. Well, you know, each week we talk about wealth management and investments built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. You know, if there's only one thing you take away from our discussion today, we hope you'll remember that it is possible to evaluate your investments to confirm that either yes, your investments are in alignment with your values, or no, they're not.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's right. Our special guest today is Nathan Parrott. And Eric, you're here too.
Yeah.
Sorry. But Nathan, say
he's
hi.
He's our special guest.
He's our special guest.
Hello, everyone. How are we doing today?
Thanks for joining us, Nathan.
Thanks for being here.
So, Nathan, every week on the podcast, we talk about how important it is for our wealth management planning and our investments to be in alignment with our values and convictions. You know, can you help us understand, why is this so important?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we think of money, right, we don't really think of values necessarily. Mm-hmm. I think we're all taught at a young age that we want to treat people kind and we want to be, you know, good stewards or really be smart with our money. But whenever we look at it as a business, we don't necessarily think of values going along with any kind of financial advisor or just investments in general.
Yeah, something kind of gets separated in the translation.
That's right. So I think what's really cool now that we see that's come into you know, direct light, I think, in the last 10 or 15 years is this idea of investing with values, mm-hmm. And being able to choose companies that aren't giving to things that go against our personal beliefs or our values or standards.
Right. Yeah. And you work for a company called the Timothy Plan, and we'll talk more about that, you know, and how you got connected there.
Absolutely.
In the next segment. But you know, we were just talking last night too about what happens when you suddenly discover. I mean, as we said, there's this disconnect, right?
Right.
But when people suddenly discover that, you know, they're working hard and living a life that, you know, reflects the values that they feel is near and dear to them, right? Christian values and then
and putting their money towards those as well.
Putting their money towards them, mm-hmm. like yeah. charitable giving.
That's
and
right.
maybe volunteering their time.
So they think they're doing the right thing with all their efforts along right. the way.
And they are, mm-hmm. right? And they are. And then they discover that, you know, sort of lurking in the closet, if you will.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Or flying under the radar screen is an investment portfolio that really kind of runs counter to everything that they're doing in their life.
Right, right. And I think that's an eye-opening moment, right? Mm-hmm. People don't think that when they're investing their money, they're making a difference or an impact on anyone else except for themselves, mm-hmm. right? And now we realize that that is not the case. Now we have ways to be able to see where these companies are putting their money. And some of them are right on our TV screen. I mean, they tell us what their values are in the way that they market their products and just showcase their products. So it's an interesting time,
yeah.
you know. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
But to just kind of, you know, be really clear on that, right? Let's say I have a mutual fund in my portfolio.
Right.
And I look at it and go, I own a mutual fund.
Right.
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 So I don't really own a stock, do I? Well, not really, but my money is in that mutual fund, and the mutual fund has all those stocks.
Right.
Right. And so...
And that money that they get from that allows them to put it towards what they want to, whether or not you agree with them or not.
That's it. That's mm-hmm. it. You know, we're out of the age of, well, I shouldn't say that. There's a lot of companies that do one thing really well, and that's their business.
Right.
Mm. Now we're in a day and age where culture is telling us this is the right thing and this is the wrong thing. Mm. And so media and how we dress and what we watch on TV, and that's, I guess, kind of pop culture, mm-hmm. and it signifies to our children that, hey, this is what's the norm.
And it bleeds through to our shared values.
And it bleeds through to our shared values, right? Mm-hmm. Or against
right.
our values, mm. right? Mm-hmm. So to your point, James, yes, it's a mutual fund, but it's made up of all these stocks, right? And
right.
some people don't look at the individual holdings. They're just thinking of the mutual fund as a whole.
Right.
Right. So what we have to do is we have to break that down to find out, are these companies within this umbrella really doing what we want them to do? And are they attached to our values or are they not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
And a lot of folks, they just see, you know, the Morningstar ratings, the stars they applied to them.
Right.
And you know, they don't really know what's really going on inside of their mm-hmm. portfolio.
That's right.
Yeah. Or value line ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Or Morningstar value line. We didn't practice that before we said it, but those
are... You know, I mean, I think, you know, I talk to many advisors in my role, and I will tell you there are a lot that will just go by the Morningstar rating.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's kind of why I threw that out there.
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely
and even
right.
savvy investors that we
absolutely
you know, make contact with.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a few metrics they're checking on, and once it passes that smell test, that they'll put that in their portfolio at least in that pool of options.
But I think it's so important as an advisor, a financial professional, or just as a consumer, a direct investor, to really understand that your money, it has impact.
Mm. Yes.
It has impact. And we're giving it to that company and entrusting them, not only for a return, but, you know, for a good investment, and that they're going to do with that money what we want them to do. And the reality is companies make their own decisions,
right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So we have to, as direct investors, we need to make sure that we understand those companies' values mm-hmm. and what they give to. And so I think that's a very we need to make sure that that is not forgotten as the direct investor, that we do have a choice of what we invest in. And there is the research out there to be able to answer some of these questions that we're posing right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's put arms and legs on that, right? And, you know, I was thinking about this as we were kind of prepping for our conversation today. You know, let's just kind of paint an example and pretend that, you know, maybe you are sending financial support to a camp, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And your financial support to the camp is making it possible for kids to go to camp and have a great camp experience. And that's important to you because in that camping experience, there's values that they learn and they have opportunities to make life decisions in that context, right?
Right.
So you're giving money and maybe you're volunteering at the camp and so on and so
Absolutely.
Forth, right? And then, you know, you went digging in your portfolio and discovered a stock. I'm not going to name this particular company, but if I did, you would probably recognize the name. And let's say, you know, you're digging around through that and lo and behold, you find that that company publishes like computer and video games that are really controversial.
Yeah.
That the game itself is depicting violence and nudity and simulated gambling. And
right.
And all of a sudden, you know, what you're doing with your money is really colliding with what you're doing with your life.
Yes.
Right?
I mean,
am I saying that well?
Oh, you're saying it great. I think, you know, so I grew up in a family that ate dinner at 5 o'clock every night,
mm-hmm.
right? My father was a pastor. We'll talk a little bit about that here in a second. But to answer your question, we were taught values at the dinner table. So imagine now, I do the same thing with my son and my daughters now. We teach this value system. We go to church on Sunday and there's values that we live by and there's beliefs that we have. So we tell those beliefs to our kids and the values, and we hope that they embrace them and they live their life according to those. Mm-hmm. But as soon as we're done at the kitchen table telling them that, they run downstairs and they get on Xbox uh-huh. or PlayStation.
That's right.
And they're playing that game that perhaps dad and mom, hopefully they know, but I've got a 13-year-old that sometimes you don't know
mm-hmm.
because they can get it on the internet. Right,
mm-hmm. it's all downloadable now.
That's all downloadable.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to go purchase it for them.
You don't have to go to the store like I did, and where it says parental, you know, or explicit lyrics, or it says parental advisory. There's none of that stuff anymore because most of the time they get it off the internet.
Right.
Right. So, but my point is that all the things that I'm speaking to them about are being erased by these games.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I am not going to mention any games here. But I will tell you, pornography or just the suggestion of it, topless bars, gambling, extreme violence. You know, it's not like we grew up and, you know, whenever somebody was killed, they just disappeared from the screen. Now it's you know, very graphic.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
So we're ingraining into our children and really to anybody that's playing these games that this is acceptable
right.
in society. Right. So think about that. Whenever somebody goes to invest, if they're accepting all these things as their truth and there's no problem with them.
And you keep moving that goalpost a little
farther.
Yep.
Right. So what's the point of, I mean, do they really care what's in it? They should. But we've got to really look at these companies that are doing these things and not give money to them because they just keep polluting what's going on here in our society, and especially with our children.
That's right, yeah. And, you know, we've made this point here on the podcast a number of times that when money leaves our checkbook, it makes an impact. And, you know, there's that, we've covered like one little topic here, but I hope
right.
it highlights the issue of alignment, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's time for my favorite part of the show.
The weekly trivia.
Yes. Not a puzzler. Not a puzzler anymore.
Maybe we'll slip one in there every once in a while, just for
right.
you.
This was a puzzle, though. What famous American burger was first served near Uniontown, Pennsylvania, in 1967?
Do you know, Joe? What was it?
The Big Mac.
The Big Mac. Do you like Big Macs?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, they kind of work.
They kind of work.
That's right.
All right.
I actually like Whoppers better.
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not as big of a fan of a Big Mac. It's a good index.
Let's look to the Whopper index and the Big Mac index.
So this week, what borough in Pennsylvania has been home to an underground coal mine fire that has been burning since 1962 and estimated that the fire could continue to burn for another 250 years?
Wow.
Deep underground.
A coal mine fire. What borough, not a town.
That's right. There's only one town.
There's only one town in Pennsylvania. This is a borough. What borough in Pennsylvania has been home to an underground coal fire that has been burning since 1962 and estimated that the fire could burn for another 250 years. If you think you know, send your answer to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and we'll read the answer on the podcast next week.
We need to take a quick break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio.
The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money in Mission, here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Do you ever wonder how your money and the things you own are actually helping you to live out what you really feel called to in your heart? There is so much peace of mind when you sense that your money is aligned with your values and convictions, as well as your financial goals. And there really, really is peace of mind when deep down you know that your financial goals are in sync with your values and convictions. There is so much potential for anxiety when you sense that your money is not aligned with your values and convictions. The problem really is that it is so much easier said than done. There's financial information coming at us from all over the place, every single minute of every single day. And it really can actually be overwhelming. Whether it's terminology or ideas or philosophies or various competing principles, and of course, financial products and services, all this stuff, keeping it all straight can be downright confusing and possibly even scary. And when you are confused, you simply don't make good decisions. And that can keep you from being all that God wants you to be. It can hurt you pretty badly as well. Well, welcome to episode 15 of Money in Mission. I'm actually here in the studio at Holy Family Radio today, recording this solo. So I've never done a monologue in my life, but we'll see how this goes. Eric is typically with us, but he had some car problems today, so we hope he is doing well. But each week, in the first part of our show, we talk about some current financial events so that you'll have a better understanding of what terminology is all about and just what some of that stuff means. And then part of the way through the show, we get to our weekly puzzler. And weekly puzzler is just a brain teaser. It's a puzzle, and we share it with you. We hope you find it interesting. I think these weekly puzzlers probably fall under the category of dad jokes. And Joe Nevesinski is sitting over there. He's nodding his head. Yes, that is absolutely true. Dad jokes. But there they are. And so we'll read that weekly puzzler to you. Well, we've had just an incredible amount of stuff going on in the markets and the financial news. If you've been tracking, again, there's just
headline, headline, headline. There's all kinds of stuff coming at us. But it seemed like this week, the week passed from when we're recording this episode, everyone was watching NVIDIA earnings. So NVIDIA has kind of become a household name, and it's become a headline, a financial news headline topic. Everyone, it seemed, was watching to see if NVIDIA was making as much money as anticipated. Now, if you check financial headlines throughout the year, you will periodically see headlines that talk about earnings. Earnings, 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 earnings season. And you might ask yourself, what in the world is so important about earnings? Exactly how does that work? It actually becomes really important in your investment portfolio. If you own stocks, if you own mutual funds, if you own ETFs, earnings can make a really, really big difference, at least in sometimes the short-term fluctuations that you see going on in your portfolio. So earnings are important. Remember that every stock in the market represents a company. And it's easy to kind of say, oh, companies, you know, this feels somewhat ambiguous. But companies are actually made up of people. Real people get up each and every day and they go to work to do something. And the folks that run the radio station here, the radio station could just be, hey, a radio station. But, you know, Joe and Joe and how many Joes are there?
There's three
Joes. Yeah. So Joe, and Joe. Right? They all get up and come into the station and they do things, and that makes the station run. So people get up every day and they go to work and they work for companies. Those companies out there, and there are thousands and thousands of companies. We all know the thousands and thousands of companies that are out there. Even if you don't know the names of everyone, there are thousands. But these people that run these companies, they sell products and services to each other. And the net result of selling products and services to each other is that each company has income. People charge for their services and their products. And so companies have income. In investment language and on Wall Street, it's called revenue. So everybody wants more revenue, because when there's more revenue, then there's more money to work with. So income is coming into companies from products and services that are sold. But companies also have all kinds of expenses. They don't just get to keep all the money they get from selling things, products and services. So now the money comes in and it lands in a company's checkbook somewhere, and then money starts going back out in the form of expenses. So expenses could be things like payroll, making sure that all employees are getting paid, taxes. And yes, companies actually do pay taxes. I know that sometimes we hear that companies don't pay enough taxes, but companies pay taxes. Utilities, things that make the company run, electricity to turn on the lights, water to make everything work in a company, marketing, charitable donations, supplies to make the product or service that they actually make. So, and we could go on and on. The point is that revenue comes in and then money goes back out in the form of paying expenses. Well, after all the expenses are paid, then that company hopes, or they have a business plan that projects, that they will have a profit. That's money left over after all the expenses are paid. And if you own a company, or if you're investing in a company, typically the reason you do that is because you are hoping that that company will turn a profit, right? So you have revenue, income, minus expenses, and the people who own the company, the investors in that company, hope for a profit. And if you own stock, if you own a mutual fund, if you own an ETF, if you have an investment portfolio, then you are probably invested in companies where you, along with everybody else, are hoping that there will be a profit. And that's called earnings. We want to know how much a company is earning. So what happens is that the managers of those companies then will make an earnings projection. They'll look at their business model and they'll say, you know, we think that based on the economics that are out there and how we understand our customers and how we understand our sales process and all the different things that we understand about our company, we think that we will have a certain amount of earnings coming up throughout the coming year. And whenever managers of a company make this public pronouncement that we think we'll have a certain amount of earnings, that's called guidance. So investors and people who own companies, if they own company stock, they will look at the guidance that's provided by those managers and they'll set expectations. Oh, we think this company is going to have a certain amount of money. And that helps investors to invest money in that stock. So when investor money comes in and it buys that stock, it provides demand in the investment market and that supports the price of that stock. So what happens when a company doesn't make its earnings projection? This is really, really not good news. A company shows up and each quarter, each calendar quarter, they are now reporting to the world, hey, we didn't make as much as we thought we did, or as much as we thought we would. And when that happens, the price of the stock usually drops a lot. We all are familiar with a company called FedEx. You know, a year and a half ago or so, FedEx showed up and said, hey, because of increased expenses, we missed our earnings and the stock price just got pummeled. And the same thing happened to a number of other companies. Target had a real price impact when they missed earnings because of inflationary pressures. So earnings is a really, really, really big deal. And investors are looking at NVIDIA and watching for NVIDIA's earnings report to kind of gauge how this artificial intelligence thing that we have going on in our world today, you know, if there's any depth, if there's any breadth to that. And because NVIDIA is such a large company at this point. So earnings are enormously important. Everybody's watching NVIDIA to see, you know, are the earnings going to continue? And exactly what is that going to say about the artificial intelligence business? So yes, earnings are important. Companies that qualify as biblically responsible are impacted by earnings as well. And everything else that we've talked about here. So hope that's helpful in understanding how earnings are important and how they work. We do need to take a break. Today we'll be talking with Nathan Parrott of the Timothy Plan. But stay tuned. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720.
Christ Community Catholic. You're listening to Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720.
Nourishing our Catholic family, sharing our faith with others.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where we're talking with Nathan Parrott from the Timothy Funds, the Timothy Plan.
Timothy Plan.
That's yep, right. Yep. Yeah, about
they have funds.
That's right. About aligning our investments with our values.
Mm-hmm.
I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And we do this every week.
Yes.
That's right. We are on episode number 15. So, wow, we've spent some time talking about this little conundrum that happens when we discover that all of a sudden our investments
really don't reflect what we say we believe and try to live out, right?
Right,
and,
right.
And but what if, how do people actually know whether this is a thing or not for them, right?
Well, it's going to take a little bit of homework.
It takes a little bit of homework. I mean, by the time we get finished with this segment, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you might conclude it takes a lot of homework.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. Because
we're really good partners.
But don't be discouraged.
Yeah.
Don't be discouraged.
That's right. So we want to give you, you know, we don't make recommendations here on the podcast, but there are some really specific action steps that you can take to try to do this detective work, right?
Right. Right.
And so I'm going to suggest four things here, but then let's talk through what those things are, right? You can read a prospectus. You can read annual reports of mutual funds and exchange traded funds and companies that you own. And you can talk with your financial advisor, or you can visit a tool on the internet called evaluator.com. Evaluator spelled EvaluEator.com. If you write it out that way, it looks like you misspelled it.
Yes.
That's right.
But just remember value. Spell value and then put that T-O-R at the end of it.
Evaluator.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Evaluator.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, trust me. I was looking at that word for a while saying, wait, hold on. Why did they do this?
Why did they do this? I don't know how to spell. That's right.
So.
That's right. But, you know, I understand that if somebody logs on to Evaluator, they can actually type in like 5 ticker symbols or so for free.
Right.
And just see how the things that they own in their investment portfolio actually show up, whether there's values alignment there or not. But, you know, let's talk about this thing called a prospectus. We talked about this a couple of months ago, and it was so fascinating and so interesting. We had, you know, such positive feedback when we said, read a prospectus, right?
I'm actually surprised by that you had positive feedback, because it can be kind of boring sometimes.
Sarcasm. I actually, I just made that up.
Oh, did you just make that up? Okay. Well, hey, you convinced me.
Yeah,
you convinced
me. But what is a prospectus?
Right.
What is? I mean, you know what prospectuses are, don't you, Nathan?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like you said. I mean, it's a business plan, right? Did you want to go ahead and say something?
No.
No, but yeah, it's a business plan for the actual fund or the exchange-traded fund. It's going to tell you what are they trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. That's really what a prospectus is. And
so you open a prospectus and somewhere along the way it says, we're trying to make money. Well, I mean, they all say that in one way, shape, or form.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of the whole point.
But they're going to give you an idea of, you know, where are they putting the percentages? Where, you know, what are they really putting in this fund? And, you know, maybe you give us a little bit more, James, since I know you're in the prospectus world.
Oh, he loves
prospectus. And you love to read. If anybody doesn't know James, he is a reader, I think, by nature, honestly.
Yeah. So sure, in a general kind of way, every prospectus has... Every prospectus has different sections. One is the objective or the goal. What's the fund trying to do? And then another section talks about risks. Mm-hmm. And really, every investment involves risks. So people can read the risks that are associated with owning that particular fund. And but then there's a section called investment strategies. Mm-hmm. And that is where you start to be able to see whether or not what these people are doing with your money is in alignment with your values. Mm-hmm. So you can skip over a lot of stuff in the prospectus. No, don't skip over any of it. Read the whole prospectus, all, you know, 100 pages or whatever it is. And but let me just give you an example. Here I'm reading out of the section called Principal Investment Strategies. This is a fund that says the fund intends to invest at least 80% of its assets in stocks of companies that may be morally questioned by members of the general public or face regulatory challenges because of social and societal disapproval. There's 4 different categories.
you know, gaming and tobacco, alcoholic beverages. And I mean, they seek out, you know, areas of business that are objectionable to people. So you could read that and say, yeah, I want to do that. I mean, it's pretty clear. Or you could say, you know what? I really don't want my money invested like that.
Right.
So there's an example of a prospectus that is either in alignment or not.
Yeah.
Right.
The great thing about these two is for legality reasons, they have to tell you.
Yes.
Right. So mm-hmm. if you read consumer the prospectus, protection. You're going to have a good idea mm-hmm. or a great idea
right.
of what's really going on in this fund.
That's right.
Right.
That's so right. It's so important. Here's another fund that actually, this is actually an Islamic fund that invests according to Sharia principles.
Yeah.
And it's actually written in Arabic, so I can't read any of it. but here it is, right? I mean, you guys can see this.
Right,
there.
Right.
And
I also mentioned the other day that I found out there's a Nancy Pelosi ETF.
Is that right?
That you can track the trade.
Well, I know you can track the trade.
Yes, yeah, I just heard it. I didn't
look. And you can actually do that for Congress, and they actually have
that. But that would need a prospectus.
Absolutely.
Right?
That would need
absolutely.
A prospectus.
I mean, listen, if you're trading, we don't give any advice here, but if you're doing that, you need to be careful. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, right. That's right. So, but the point is, you know, you read that prospectus, and that helps you to see in a general kind of way whether or not there's alignment with values, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, contrast that to even like, you know, here's a prospectus that says this is a mutual fund that will avoid four major categories of companies, those involved in the practice of abortion, those that distribute pornographic material, and those that support embryonic stem cell research. So, you know, again, if that's important to you, then you can clearly say, hey, this is a possibility that I may want to consider in my investments.
Right.
And I think you had one there too, Eric, that there was a fund there that just, I guess that just really specifically said, it talked about biblical values.
Oh, and, I mean, basically the same. It was for those mm-hmm. involved in the practice of abortion. Those who policies are judged, such as companies that distribute pornographic material and embryonic stem cell research. So very similar language.
Yeah.
With those values.
Yeah. So the point is, you know, now you know that, hey, the business plan may be in alignment. And then you really do, you need to read further and understand what the risks are.
Right.
And you know, try to understand whether you think the way the fund is performing, whether that's in alignment with your investment objectives.
Right.
But the prospectus is such an important piece of information to read. So, you know, a second thing that you can read is an annual report, and every mutual fund has to publish an annual report a couple of times a year. Mm-hmm. And exchange traded funds often allow you to just look at all of the holdings that are in that fund every single day. And so if you're not clear on the description that's in the prospectus, then you can read the annual report. You can look at what's actually owned in the fund and see if you recognize anything there that you would find objectionable.
Absolutely.
Right.
You're going to see, I'm sorry. Go ahead, James.
No, that's okay. We've got a couple more bullet points here and we're going to run out of time really quickly.
Yeah.
But
yeah, just wanted to let our listeners know that financial statements, fund performance, investment decisions of that fund, you can see all of that in the annual report. And like mm-hmm. James said, it's important to read beyond the prospectus for that.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, a lot of times people will look at a prospectus and say, oh, here's how the fund has performed historically. Right. And that's true how it has performed historically, but past performance is never
that's right
a guarantee of future results.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, investments involve risk, and that's why it's important to understand what is going on in the funds that you own, and the stocks as well.
Right.
So, you know, a third thing that you can do if you're not sure about what's in your mutual fund or any funds you own is you can talk to your financial advisor and really quiz that person on exactly how it is that your investments either align or don't align.
Right.
And this is where sometimes that relationship or sometimes that conversation can get a little sticky, right? Because let's say that you're working with an advisor who really maybe doesn't share your values.
Right.
It's
not good.
No, I mean,
it's reality though.
It's reality. Yeah. I mean, we think that financial advisors should have these values conversations with their clients.
Right.
And because what we're doing again with our money, it spells out, I mean, it makes an impact, and this is exactly where our value sets get to change the world around us. Right.
It says a lot about who we are.
Mm-hmm. It does say a lot about who we are. Yeah. So, but you know, we would just say, you know, if you have this conversation with your financial advisor and you're just not getting what you're looking for out of that, I mean, you could give us a shout too.
Yeah.
But again, those conversations really should be happening, and
absolutely,
we would hope that, you know, if you talk to your advisor and about this values-based conversation, that, you know, maybe the advisor would catch the vision as well.
Right, right.
And we think that would be really exciting.
And if not, at least interview some others.
And
some others.
That's right.
I always recommend that people do, interview advisors that you're looking to work for you.
That's exactly right. So then of course we talked about evaluators. So there's a few really practical action steps that you can take. And we are almost out of time here again, aren't we?
Yeah, but it was a great conversation. Thank you, Nathan, absolutely, so much for being here.
Yeah, it was great to be here.
We really enjoy your story, and this is what we try to talk with our clients about and listeners on the show every day, so it's great to have you here.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity and for being here.
Thanks again. You're listening to Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720. Have a blessed week.